Blessings and the peace of God be with you this seventh Sunday of Eastertide, which also happens to be Memorial Day Sunday. Last Sunday, we acknowledged that this past Thursday commemorated Ascension Day. Christ ascended into the clouds and thus into the glory of God's heavenly realm. Imagine the void experienced by the apostles and other followers of Jesus as they no longer felt the presence or heard the voice of our Lord. You likely know how the sudden absence of special people can feel like such a letdown. You know of the lively activity and conversations that are all abuzz when a dear family member or lifelong friend graces your family's household. And then those whose presence you enjoy must depart. Your house falls silent. Chairs are empty. Conversations seem less energetic. Smiles and laughs are fewer. Even the smell of a favorite perfume or cologne no longer lingers in the air. What are those who remain supposed to do when precious people have departed? What did the followers of our Lord Jesus do when they were no longer graced with his presence? Luke chapter 24, verse 52 tells us that after Jesus ascended into the heavens on the Mount of Olives, the disciples worshiped him and went back into Jerusalem, filled with great joy. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 tells us that they gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. But what else may they have done while they were in fellowship with one another? I imagine they did what many of us do for days after our loved ones or dear friends have departed. We reminisce. We tell stories. We laugh and joke about what we experienced. The memories of loved ones' words and shared experiences inspire us as we press forward, even though their physical presence no longer graces a part of our daily routine. Imagine how many times stories of Jesus' miracles, his caring for children, his consideration for the poor, his raising of Lazarus, or the daughter of Jairus were told and retold. Surely stories of Jesus were the highlight of time spent after the evening meal, their gatherings for worship, or while his followers walked from one town to the next. Stories kept Jesus' memory alive in their hearts and minds and gave them hope. Stories of Jesus reminds me of a familiar hymn titled, "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all be assembled in the Lord's house and sing this familiar hymn? The first stanza reflects the longing of our hearts as we wish to experience more of Jesus if he could only be with us. It's the same longing the followers of Jesus must have felt as 10 days transpired from Ascension Day until the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. As the first stanza states, "Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here, scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me." These words were written by William Parker back in 1885. Parker, a successful businessman in England, was also a Christian layperson who had a fierce devotion to children attending Sunday school programs throughout the country. Sunday schools were originally begun not only to tell children the stories of Jesus, but to also help indigent children learn to read and write through biblical stories so they could hope for better employment and successful futures. Concerning the poem, Parker says that one Sunday afternoon in 1885, he had just returned from his church's Sunday school program and was thinking of the children who often made the request, "Teacher, tell us another story." He began writing, and this hymn was the result. The second stanza describes Jesus blessing children as told in the first three Gospels. And then the author is requesting a blessing for himself. As the second stanza tells us, "First let me hear how the children stood round his knee, and I shall fancy a blessing resting for me." Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love light of Jesus' face. The third and final stanza describes the children being a part of Jesus' procession into Jerusalem on Lambing Day, which we now call Palm Sunday, and the author being a part of that procession. "Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. Words of his heralds, yes, I would sing. Loudest hosannas, Jesus is king." Of course, William Parker back in 1885 would have believed wholeheartedly that he and the children in the care of his Sunday school program at Chelsea Street Baptist Church could be ranked among the heralds for Jesus. Those precious stories were informing their minds and inspiring their hearts to become living witnesses for Christ's love for others wherever they would lead their lives, whether in England or beyond. These children in Mr. Parker's care never experienced Jesus firsthand, and neither have we. But it is the telling and retelling of the magnificent stories of Jesus' compassionate interaction with the people of his day that inspired these children and inspires each of us. Inspiration that not only prompts us to believe in Jesus, but to also become witnesses of his great love for others in our day and time. Telling stories of those whom we love is what we do when they are absent from us. Yes, Jesus' physical presence was absent from the apostles and other believers after Jesus' ascension, yet stories sustained them. And on this Memorial Day Sunday, in which we honor more than a million men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice of their lives in service to this nation, we know that it is in the telling of their stories that we honor these service members' memory. 9 years ago, this past Sunday, the 17th of May in 2011, dear loved ones and colleagues gathered around a freshly dug grave at the Air Force Academy's Military Cemetery in Colorado Springs. Fellow officers shared stories of Major David Brodeur, a fellow fighter pilot with whom they'd flown beside in seven F-16 fighter jets. Brodeur's remains were being laid to rest at the academy where he graduated 12 years earlier in May of 1999. A commanding general said Brodeur just always had a sense of humor. He was truly, truly liked by everybody. His wife and his two kids, that was his life. A lieutenant colonel said, "Brodeur represented the pinnacle or the epitome of everything I'd like to have as a fighter pilot," as he reminisced about Klepto's piloting skills. Klepto was Brodeur's nickname given while in training. Such nicknames are given by fellow pilots while in training, but the rationale and stories behind these names are kept in confidence among them. Brodeur planned to use his piloting skills at the helm of an Air Force Thunderbird. He was in the process of applying for the post, as Lieutenant General Dana Adkins stated. Unfortunately, his dream was cut short. For Major Brodeur, along with seven other airmen and a civilian contractor, were killed while serving in Afghanistan. Klepto's story is only one of thousands being told and retold by beloved family members and friends this Memorial Day weekend. Telling stories of dear loved ones who gave the ultimate sacrifice and service to our nation prompts us to offer our sincerest gratitude. Telling the stories of our Lord Jesus, who gave the ultimate sacrifice as he paid the price for our transgressions against God, also prompts us to offer our sincerest gratitude. In the telling of stories this Memorial Day Sunday, may each of us be prompted to live our lives with integrity and in service to others, as a way of honoring those sacrifices made on our behalf, not only by our fallen uniformed citizens, but by our Lord Jesus Christ as well. And may the very yearning for stories of Jesus enrich our lives, for as William Parker once wrote, "Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here, scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me." We still wait word as to when we may once again be permitted to share and worship at Berry Christian Church. Whenever a date may become clearer, we will inform everyone by emails, telephone calls, and letters that will describe the details concerning what a reopening of worship in the sanctuary will look like. As I have stated before, we anticipate that we will likely offer 3 revised worship services. We will not be able to offer Sunday school classes, nursery care, or access to the fellowship hall. To abide by social distancing protocols, we will strive to maintain a 6-foot distance within the sanctuary. We will refrain from handshakes and hugs. We will need to exclude our children's moment, visitation time, and the passing of communion or offering trays. Help us share the word of our church's food pantry. It's a no-questions-asked pantry, as we simply hope to get much-needed resources out to anyone in need. Simply call the church office at 816-436-0462 and make an appointment to pick up groceries on a Tuesday or Thursday. In compliance with the essential business order, Carol is still only in the office on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. Katie Turner can coordinate grocery and pharmacy runs for homebound people in the church. Call Katie at 402-202-3229. The faithfulness of your tithes and offerings has allowed us to be responsible for our obligations to staff, utilities, and other expenses, as we've also been able to assist several in need. For your generosity, we are grateful. Blessings to you this Memorial Day Sunday. As Psalm 103, verse 2 tells us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits."